Foodies everywhere know her name now, but when Netflix asked her to appear on their highly rated Chef's Table series, documenting outstanding chefs around the globe, Korean nun Jeong-kwon said no. She saw no point in it. However, once convinced it would be an opportunity to share both her food and Korean Buddhism, she agreed. Her 2017 Netflix episode was kind of a bombshell with its radically different take on food. You could say it's still being digested in elite culinary circles. Jeong-kwon Sunim, the honorific for a Buddhist monk or nun, was invited to Honolulu recently by the Paul S. Honda Foundation. She offered a cooking demonstration to KCC culinary students and hosted gatherings for people interested in her work. I was honored to meet her in Kalihi, at the farm she'd chosen for our interview. Solid greens are the backdrop for Ho'olulu Aina, a 100-acre organic farm and community resource provided by Kōkua Kalihi Valley to help link people, food, and aina. Here, with rows of lettuce, beans, squash, zucchini, kale, papaya, taro, spinach, virtually singing a chorus all around us, Jeong-kwon, the now famous temple chef, looks really at home. She's traveling with Yun-hee Kim, a tea and culinary educator, and her translator, who's worked with the nun-slash-chef for many years. I asked about Jeong-kwon's response to this food, growing.
이렇게 각자의 사람들도 이렇게 인연법 따라서 이 얼굴이나 자란 환경과 이제 자란 환경과
individual human beings based on their backgrounds and the influences that they have been given in their lives differ in so many ways. All the various produce are different and have their own individual characteristics. And even when you look at, for example, the kale that are here, the same type of produce grown in the same lot, the relationship it has towards the direct sunlight and how close it is to the earth and whether they are close together or separated by itself will differ, and ultimately whether some grow very small or others flourish and grow much bigger and so on. Even in the same lot, you have those that are on the ground that have been seeded by wind and rain and so forth and is growing. And then you have those that have been planted by the human effort. They too are different. And so to truly understand, have a sense and feel for these items, one must give one's energy by working over the period of time enough of oneself in working the land, caring for it, to truly understand the characteristics of each of these different plants that are here and have a true feel for them, which you cannot get just by studying it.
Ooh, bad news, my urban compadres. But maybe there's an easy way, right?
잎을 먹는 채소인가? 뿌리를 먹는 채소인가? 열매를 먹는 채소인가를?
She spoke earlier about the energies. So you've got the earth spirit, the sky spirit, and so forth, and that even in this papaya tree, you have energy that runs through it. And so when you're talking about being in sync with the tides of the moon and such, you have to work the land to be able to truly understand, the leaves are good for consumption. In that case, it should be the roots. And in that case, it should be the fruits that should be consumed, to be able to know at once and to differentiate how and what should be appreciated and when. That's where the human knowledge and experience comes in, to work in sync with nature, understanding how the cycles work.
I'm trying to understand how do you preserve or even enhance the energy that is already in food?
During temple stay, when she's talking about ingredients, she will talk about, you now have all these ingredients, be it a bamboo shoot or shiitake mushroom or dandelion leaves or whatever it may be. For somebody who creates, it's not just about enjoying and eating to fill our bodies, but to nourish in a holistic perspective. From that perspective, the person who's looking at the food ingredients, at once you must respect all that is coming from the foods itself. How do you do that? You need to know where these items came from. Truly, where did they come from? If you yourself are not growing them and harvesting them, what is its origin? What is its essence? And knowing that, recognizing, is this the right time of the year to pluck and to create? Because at the end, whether you are a movement-oriented living beings, be it humans with two legs or animals on four legs, where you can physically move from one location to another, you also have living beings that are immovable, plants and such. They are fully living beings. So we as human beings, in effect, cut their life in order to consume, to nourish us, so that you must do so with reverence and respect. The way we give back is recognizing what they are and being able to, with respect, highlight that ingredient as best as it can, which will then give its best energy to us. The energy as the chef or anyone, whether you are cooking for yourself, your family, your friends, or in a restaurant, it's the combination of recognizing, respecting the ingredients, putting your whole energy into it, combining with the energy of the ingredients. You are then giving it energy, and it will then give energy to all that consumes it, both body and spirit. We're not just taking.
There's the freeway noise, I know, but it's also as if the plants are humming. Casey, our kind and generous guide at Ho'oulu Aina, filled our arms with a giant wanbak, daikon, and tea leaves, which Jiangquan would use to wrap rice for a dish in the coming days. Dressed in a simple light gray tunic and loose gray pants, nicely pressed, the rather tiny nun surveyed the vegetation, practically screaming all around us. You could almost hear their eager reports about what it's like living there in Kalihi, drinking in the rain, swelling up with the sunshine, which was now emerging from behind a cloud. Jiangquan bent down near a papaya tree.
Is this the tumor got to in there? It looks like tumor, right? But the color.
Excuse me,
sorry. Again, it's all about being one, unity, the cycles of regeneration, birth, death, rebirth, and so on and so forth, so that when you look at the turmeric, the self, the field, the ahu, they can't ever be in separation unto themselves. They have to be all thought of in a holistic manner, because only when it is all one, birth, the death, rebirth, only when that is all as a whole, are we at one.
일단은 그 나고 죽는 생사를 초월해서 나고 죽음을 자유자재로 하는 게 붓다예요. 그래서 우리가 그렇게 하기 위해서 음식을 통해서 자기적인 정신 에너지와 육체적인 에너지로서 메디테이션을 하는 겁니다.
So you asked earlier, how does that energy of the food come into us and how do we give back our energy and so forth? And part of that key there is meditation. Food originally was thought of as medicine. Food is a vehicle through which we walk towards our own self-discovery path towards enlightenment. If that is the case, the mechanism to help facilitate that, especially in the philosophy of Buddhism, is through contiguous meditation. So, meditate, a daily practice. She always speaks of, it doesn't have to be long, it doesn't have to be formal, but daily practice of meditation helps us to be able to understand and consume the foods as a way of nourishing both our body, the physical form, and our spirit and our soul.
그래야만 나를 열어놔야만 자연이 보이고 자연이 보이고
거기에 when one is open, can you in fact absorb the energies from all various sources, all various sources, and be able to create something that is uniquely your own.
Yes, okay.
She's asking, is that okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Korean nun Jong Kwon Sunim says, I'm a meditator, not a professional chef. She says temple food should prepare you for meditation, not excite the senses. It doesn't have to be fancy or even tasty. I hope you enjoyed this brief introduction to her approach. You'll be able to find links to more at hawaiipublicradio.org.